Oh. good to be back in the Lord's house this morning. Good to see each and every one that's come in this way today, and I hope we've all come this morning and with the intent of worshiping God, serving the Lord and lifting His name, that He might get honor and glory. I'll go ahead and say right now, I desire an interest in your prayers this morning. I feel unprepared today, and I need your prayers, and I need the Lord's help. Talking to Brother Jimmy last night, I tried to prepare for the ordination. I tried to prepare for all the different aspects of the ordination as throughout this week, and I got to last night and my mind was tired. And as I try to stand this morning, I have the direction I feel that the Lord wants me to go in, but my preparedness of saying those things, I need the Lord's help, and I need your prayers this morning in a great way. But you may have something on your heart this morning before we go to the Lord in prayer. There might be something that you have on your heart, someone special that you have on your heart this morning that you would like to mention. Situation that has arisen, or I don't know this morning, but this is a good time to bring these things out before God's people, that we can take them to the Lord, and whatever it might be, that we can share it, we can all share it with Him. Anyone at all? Let's remember these requests. Let's remember her friend that was here last Sunday, and Brother Dillon, as he goes to preach next Sunday. just remember all these things. Someone else this morning.
Brother Armour, it was one more thing, and I apologize very much. I knew there was something, but Shannon told me last night that she got a message from, there's a gentleman that we sent a box to in Afghanistan. They got that box, and he got it on a day that it flooded there. And so I guess, and I don't know a lot about that territory, but they not have been able to get out and eat. And so all those men shared that box. And he said thank you from the bottom of his heart, that he appreciated it.
Bless.
Let's remember them, and this lady in this situation, that the Lord just be with them and intervene and help them. Someone else this morning.
Continue to remember our son, Garrett. He's better, but he's still got a lot of health problems. Try to get resolved. Pray for his daughter. She's 12. As far as I know, she's never been saved. I remember her.
All right, let's continue to remember Gary, his health problems, and his daughter. She'll hear the truth and be saved. She's got to hear the truth. Got to hear the truth. Someone else this morning. Let's remember them. And, you know, I think we all know and understand the importance of being in the Lord's house. I think we all know and understand just what a blessing it is to be able to meet here and to be with this body that the Lord has put together for here, and just what each and every one of you mean to me. Those that are not coming are missing that. They're missing that. And I don't know what's distracting them. I don't know if the devil is distracting them. The world has sucked them up. I don't know. But let's continue to pray for each one. I know I've been here long enough to know that in each family, there's circumstances and situations, there's loved ones that used to come to church here, that are members here, or one way, one thing or another, that weigh heavy on our hearts. Let's pray for them this morning, that the Lord would bring them back. Anything else on anyone's heart? Appreciate this word. Someone else this morning. If not, we need to go to the Lord in prayer. Please pray for me today. I need your prayers also. Remember our lost. Remember our lost. Keep praying for them. Nothing else to be said or done. Brother Quinn, would you lead us in prayer?
Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful in your kind, gracious, most loving, and merciful. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the call of salvation. As we bow, Lord, before you, as Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless us. We ask you to bless us. Pray for them, Father. Just mention all of you, Jesus, who's in the world.
Dear Lord, this morning, to speak to this brother, dear Lord, to try to help her. God, we ask, Lord, that you be with the Lord to guide and direct my Lord. That she would open the door, that she would hear me, that she would keep their knowledge and Lord, help us to that distinct, dear Lord. Help us to have the words, dear God, that we need to have, Lord, this morning to preach and to teach, Lord, the way to be pleasing to you, Lord. And just help us,
Father, again, to have a freedom of word and word of the truth and God's truth.
Here you find the best in us for the shortcomings, Lord.
Forgive us, Lord.
Thank you, man, for hearing your blessings. Most of all, Lord, is in keep us.
Yeah. 26. 26.
He shed his precious blood.
song hits so much of the things on my heart today. I was looking at another book and at another song, and I had that on my heart earlier today, "Because He Lives." But this one says pretty much the same words. Pretty much. And I know my Savior lives today because I can feel Him. I have that assurance and that understanding of knowing that He has delivered me. That's my thought this morning. Jesus, my deliverer. As I thought about the things that I preached on last week, I titled it "The Refining Process," the chastisement, and all the things, the trials and the tribulations that we go through in this life. I was thinking also what the Bible teaches us about how Jesus delivers us from all those things. How He delivers us from everything that we have to face. And these verses are very familiar. I've read them, I believe, recently. But I'm going to read them again this morning. With these thoughts in mind, I'm going to take a reading lesson out of the 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. I'm going to start reading in verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. It says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is the effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that ye are partakers of the sufferings. So shall ye also be of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver us, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us." My thoughts this morning about delivering. He delivers us out of every trial and tribulation, out of everything. And I just want to speak about that just briefly, but that's not my main thought. Sometimes those messages, like I preached last week, they come across as hard and severe. But I want the church to know that it's when those messages are brought out, that they are just things that are directed of God. I mean, I love everybody here, and I would never say or do anything to try to offend anybody or hurt anyone. But it is my job and my responsibility as the pastor of this church to preach the truth, to put it out there, to lay it on the line that everybody can understand to the best of my abilities. So when I have to preach those hard sermons, I pray if I have to again, and I'm sure if the Lord allows me to stay here, that there'll be others that comes along. But if I have to, please know that they come with love from the depths of my heart. I believe that's the way the Lord's word is. I believe it is, just like he said, it's a consolation to us in time. It's a hope to us that's in need. It's out of every trial and tribulation that we face in this life, it's there for us to lift us up. Jesus is our deliverer. We know that. We can feel that. You know, so many people in the world, just like you said this morning, may not know the Lord. So many people may not know. They may be walking through life doing all kinds of things in this world and not ever know it's wrong because they haven't been saved, and they don't know that the Savior lives, and that because they don't have that chastening hand upon them. You know, the Bible teaches us that He delivered us and from all those things, so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust. And you know, we look over into, I've got some verses that was on my heart as I was trying to study, in the second chapter of the book of 2 Peter. It says in the fourth verse, For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved into judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them examples unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Bible says, verse 9 here, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. The Lord knoweth how to deliver. He knows how to deliver us out of there. And His word promises that He will never put anything on us that is greater than we can handle. You know, this deliverer that we speak of, all these things that I've been talking about thus far are things pertaining to those people that have been saved by God's grace. And if you look up in the concordance or the Greek concordance and Greek and Hebrew, you can find many different meanings to the word deliverance, delivered, deliverer. It has many different meanings, but This deliverance that I've been speaking of this morning, for those that have been saved, but I want, if there's anybody that might be here today and lost, I want you to consider for just a little time the Jesus Christ as the deliverer that died for your sins.
We read in the Bible about many different aspects of Jesus. All the different things that he did. But the Bible tells me that he delivered us from our sins by dying on the cross, by living a perfect life. It's that perfect life that he lived. It's the righteousness that was acquired by the living of his perfect life. That when we as a lost person are seeking God, we're having faith in him, in his perfectness, in his righteousness as he walked upon this earth. See, he walked upon this earth as a man. He walked through this world and he did it without sin. Why did he do it? To deliver us. To deliver us out of bondage. Out of the bondage of sin. He did that for us. He delivered us out of that bondage through and by his righteousness, his goodness, his holiness, his sinless perfection while he was here upon this earth. The Bible talks about God and his knowledge. It tells about his foreknowledge, that he knew the end from the beginning. He knew what man was going to be. He tells us in his writings that in the very beginning that there was a council meeting, that there was a plan put in place for the redemption of mankind of this world. During this plan that was set out, there had to be someone to redeem us. There had to be a deliverer. There had to be someone that was righteous enough, good enough, and perfect enough. Because he knew man would sin. I know I've heard in other preaching that we didn't fool God. Adam didn't fool God in the garden, did he? He knew just exactly when he sinned. He asked him, "What have you done? What have you done?" He knows us and our hearts. He knows us exactly when we have sinned. All those things go along with last week. He knows us when we've sinned. Even after we've been saved by God's grace, he still knows us. He still knows our hearts. And he's still delivering us from all the things that we do. Time after time after time after time, he just keeps on. His loving kindness. In the book of Romans, we read some things here about the old man. It says in the 6th chapter and the 6th verse, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if he be dead with Christ, we believe that he also shall live with him." These things that is said here. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more, Death hath no more dominion over him, for in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You know, death is a big part of life. We go through this life, and one of the big things that we do as we go through this life is avoiding death, isn't it? We want to keep our health up, don't we? So we go to the doctors and we try to do all manner of things to try to keep our health up because we're trying to avoid death. Those of us that have been saved by God's grace have avoided the sting of death. But we all have died to sin. We've come to the understanding that we were sinners. How did we come to that understanding that we knew that we were sinners? We heard the gospel preached. We have been in the presence of those that have been saved by God's grace. We've heard testimonies. We've heard many different things. But most importantly, each and every one of us was shown by God Almighty that we were dead in our sins and our trespasses. We were shown personally. We were convicted. The Lord let us know that we were sinners. You know, and I believe, just like the Bible teaches, that you will be convicted and the Lord will draw you. And I believe that if you're never convicted of your sins, and if you're never led or drawn by the Holy Spirit of God to the saving of your soul, that hell will be your home. That's a part of salvation that you cannot leave out and make it into heaven. There's a lot of people that's got a head salvation. It's not going to get them there. If you leave out the work of the Holy Spirit, then you've left God out of salvation. You know, Jesus walked on this earth perfectly. He fulfilled all the legal barriers that prevented fellowship with God and man. And he removed them when he died on the cross. He fulfilled all the legal barriers. See, it was man that sinned, and it was man that had to pay the sin debt. It had to be a man. That's the reason Jesus came to deliver us from our sins. He paid that sin debt. He did those things. All the spiritual and the moral barriers are removed between us through repentance and faith in a Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that walked this earth and did that for us. He just paid off the legal aspects of it. For all those that have never repented and had faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the saving of their soul, the second death awaits them. You see, there is one death each and every one of us will go through. The death of sin. But for those that have not been saved by God's grace, they'll go through what the Bible calls a second death. There's a place for those that the Bible, that God has reserved for those in the second death. Those of us that have been saved by God's grace, we won't have to deal with that. But in that second death, we read about over in the book of Revelations. Over in the book of Revelations, in the 20th chapter, it says, I'll just start reading in verse 10 in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelations. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw the great white throne and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The second death. You might be dead in trespasses and sins while you walk around here upon this earth in this fleshly body. But if you don't ever get saved, if you never put faith in the one, in your deliverer, in the one that died for your sins, if you never get to the point of that in this life, then you will face the second death. It's exactly what the Bible teaches. It says in the 21st chapter, in the 8th verse, it says, "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Plain and simple. I'm just here to tell you this morning, the Lord prepared a way of salvation. He made a way of salvation for all. And He wants that all should repent and be saved. I believe, just like the Bible says, if you draw nigh unto God, He will draw nigh unto you. I believe if you seek the Lord and you keep seeking Him, that you'll find Him. But I believe if you don't ever seek Him, you won't ever find Him. Those that choose not to seek, those that don't want to find, that don't want to believe, is prepared the second death. The second death. There's only one way that you'll ever need to know that you need to be saved. And that's if you're convicted. If the Lord never reveals it to you that you're lost, then you'll never seek a Savior. If you're here today and lost, I would pray that I'll put it this way. If you had never been saved by God's grace, if you don't have something inside that you know that the Lord speaks to you, spoke to you, He spoke peace to your heart. If you don't have an assurance that you know, that you know, that you know that the Lord has done something to you in your life, then you need to seek Him. You may not be convicted here this morning. The Lord may not be convicting you this morning. But if you are missing that spirit, if you're missing something that we talk about, that we speak about, that the Bible teaches, if you're missing that in your life, if you're missing the chastening hand of God upon your life, all these many different things, if you're missing them, seek God that you might be found. Because if you're missing that feeling, then you're missing what's going to get you to heaven. And if you don't go to heaven, the Bible just plainly says that there's a place prepared for those in the second death. That's just plain and simple. God has prepared it. God has prepared it. He sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He bled and died. That you might believe. That you might put your faith and your trust in Him. I want to have a song this morning, Brother Bert. I want to give opportunity. If there's anybody that might be here lost this morning, this altar is always open. If somebody needs to seek the Lord, this altar is always open. If you're here lost this morning, I want to give you another opportunity to see God that you might be found. That you might know this deliverer that I'm speaking about this morning. Robert, go ahead.
We're on page number 211. I sing the first, second, and last verse. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing fire? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace to His fire? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
With all my heart, believe that the Lord can save anybody. He will save anybody. But I believe with all my heart they got to see. They got to see. I truly do. Anything else on anyone's heart?
Thank you.
Anything else on anyone's heart before we're dismissed? If not,
let's remember all, come back tonight at 6 o'clock. We'll be continuing on our study in the church covenant. Let's remember these requests that's been made today. All hearts and minds are free.
Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for another opportunity to meet in your house today, dear God. We thank you for the good word that was brought to us and for the one that brought it to us, dear God. We ask you to watch over us as we go throughout our week, that we might keep you close to our hearts, dear God. Be with all the lost, dear God, that they might realize where they stand and seek you before it's everlasting too late. Be with me as I try to go throughout this week, that I might stay prayerful and stay studying as you would have me to, as I stand again next Sunday to try to bring another word to Hendersonville. Be with all your missionaries overseas as they try to spread your word. And most of all, we thank you for our salvation. In Jesus' name, we humbly beg and pray. Amen.